Genesis chapter number 18, I'll start reading in verse number 1. And the Lord appeared unto him, that is unto Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Now, I want you to notice here, just as we read, I want you to notice, though Abraham was great, he was great in many ways. But when there was three that showed up at his tent, and one source said that he had as many as 318 servants. But when those three men showed up, he identified, Abraham did, that one of them was the Lord. The other two were angels. And so when he identified that, the Bible, and he recognized that immediately. He never got so great that he never recognized the greatness of God, and bowed himself to him, submitted himself to him. Look what he says. Verse 2, when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground and said, "Look, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Pass not away from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree." That's not the message, but I'll tell you, you can't help but notice the details and the extent that Abraham went to honor the Lord. Amen. When Jesus showed up, this was an Old Testament Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord. This was an earthly manifestation of Jehovah. And when Abraham, who was beyond great for his man's measurements, he quickly bowed himself, submitted himself, ran to meet them with urgency and haste, and wanted to be a blessing to the Lord. He didn't run out there. I'm just going to preach just a minute right here. He didn't run out to meet the angel of the Lord and say, Lord, here's my list. I've wrote it down. I've thought it through. These are some things I need. He never came to the angel of the Lord and with a selfish motive. The Lord smote my heart earlier in the service this morning. And I was not going to say anything about it, but it's coming out now. But I was sitting over there, and I don't know if anybody even heard it or if it even stood out. But when I said to the choir, "Sing, church, let's go to meeting," I need it. And you understand what I'm saying when I say I need it. But the Lord dealt with me, and just sitting right over there in my heart, he said, "Don't you think that was a little selfish?" And the Lord dealt with me sitting over there that we're not here this morning to be only on the receiving end. That is when the Lord shows up that we run with haste and, "Here, Lord's my list, and Lord, I need some help, and Lord, I need some intervention here, and Lord, I need some provision here, and Lord, I need this and that." No, we should be like Abraham and say, "Lord, it's really not, you're not here for me. You're here so that I can love on you. You're here today so I can bow to you as Abraham bowed. You're here today where I can humble myself to you and recognize your authority and your sovereignty." I promise you, if you come here for him, he will come here for you. Say amen right there. But if you come here for you, don't be surprised if he don't show up. He won't show up. But if we'll, amen. Hallelujah. God help us. Well, it's just a little side note there. Man, that's good, isn't it? He said, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched and wash your feet. Rest yourself. Lord, I'm even concerned about not just a little dirt on your feet, but I'm concerned about you just needing a little rest. Here's a tree. Won't you rest yourself under the tree? Huh? What about that? Can y'all get a picture? Can we get a mental image somewhat of what is Abraham's doing here to honor the Lord? Verse 5, I will fetch a morsel of bread. Comfort ye your hearts. Now keep in mind he's talking to the Lord here. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. You've come to your servant. Abraham says, I'm your servant. I've got plenty of money and plenty of possessions and 318 servants, but I am your servant. You'll never have a status in this world, financially or positionally, that will ever take you as a child of God away from servitude of the Savior. Amen. I'm just going to mind the Lord. Amen. This is all, this wasn't playing. I was just going to read it. But this is, amen. What about Job? Greatest man in the East, and look at all he had, and look at all of his notoriety and recognition. But oh, listen, when he lost it all, he still worshiped. He still praised God. And throughout the book of Job, God constantly refers to Job as my servant. If you've gotten so big, if I've gotten so big, amen, in any classification to where it has taken away my servitude to the Lord, then I have gotten too big. You've gotten too big. Whatever you're involved in can get big in you, and it can get too big to you, and you can measure it out by, if it's too big, by how little is it making Jesus. Amen. We better listen up right there. That was unplanned preaching right through there. Amen. That's right, isn't it? God help us this morning to realize that no matter what we own or drive or have or what is in the bank or not in the bank, that has nothing to do with the attitude of submission and honor and surrender to the worthiness of our God. Amen. If I have everything, God, you're worthy. And if I have nothing, you're worthy. You say, preacher, that sounds like that no circumstance can come or go in your life that should take away our worship, because he's worthy no matter who you are or who you're not, where you've been or where you've not been. He is worthy. Amen. I wish I'd have seen that. I might have preached on that a little bit. But I think that's stirring my heart, that Abraham, of his status, was honoring God in that capacity. Amen. For therefore ye are come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Amen. I'm just going to preach now. Y'all might as well just get ready. It's coming and I feel it and I'm on target. This wasn't the message right now, but we're en route. But notice there what it says. And they said, so do as thou hast said. Oh, help me, Jesus. Y'all feeling any of that? The angel of the Lord, Brother Carroll, didn't say, hey, I want to go sit under that shade tree for rest. Hey, go get some water for me. I want you to wash my feet. I want you to go fetch a morsel of bread. I'm hungry. I want you to go get it and feed me. I never seen that before. Of course, this is coming right down the pipeline. Listen, all that Abraham was doing was his own mind, his own thought, Brother Bill, his own idea and his own voluntary will. Hey, amen. Jesus never said, submit to me. Jesus never said, serve me. Jesus never said in this Old Testament appearance, I wash my feet, feed me, rest me under the shade tree. Give me something for my journey. Abraham said, here's what I want to do. And here, you know, take your rest. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to do all of this. And you know what the angel said? You know what the angel of the Lord said? So do ye. If you want to love on me, just do it. Woo! If you want to feed me, just do it. If you want to bow to me, just do it. If you want to wash my feet, just do it. Amen. Oh. In other words, it was in his heart. It was in his heart. So do you. Did you know God will let you do whatever you want to do that'll honor him? He don't have to tell you everything to do. Sometimes we come to church and we plop down on a pew. All right, Lord, I want you to tell me now if I'm supposed to raise my hand or not. Lord, I want you to tell me now if I'm supposed to, you know, what if I'm supposed to say amen to the preaching. If it's in your heart and it don't violate Scripture, amen, I believe God is saying, so do ye. If you want to praise me, so do ye. If you want to honor me, so do ye. As it's in your heart, amen. Glory to God, that's good, ain't it? Man, I wish I'd have saw that. I'd have probably preached on that. My heart's beating 100 miles an hour. It is feeding me, I'm telling you. I love it when the Word of God comes alive. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. If you want to serve God, He'll let you. If you want to get close, He'll let you. If you want to honor Him, He'll let you. But here's the flip side of that. If you don't get the morsel of bread, he probably won't ask for it. If you don't go get the water to wash his feet, he'll probably just go on down the road. Are you listening? Oh, help us. I don't know where the Lord's going to go with this. I don't know where he's wanting to go with it now, but I know this. If Abraham had not treated the Lord in this Old Testament appearance the way he did, the Lord may have just come and was rejected, offended, ignored, and left and went on down the road hunting somebody else to bless. Oh, I want to tell you. Listen, hello, are y'all watching? Y'all listening? Guess where all this was transpiring? At Abraham's tent. And you know what that represented? Where he lived. Don't expect to meet with God at the sanctuary if God's not meeting with you at your tent, so to speak. If you don't have that submissive, bow down, recognize his authority, amen, honor him, praise him, and love him, amen, and want to just meet all of his needs, amen. What would it be different this morning if we'd just come to church at RBT and we didn't come in here with the attitude, this is all coming together, I can see it. I come in here with, Lord, help me, bless me, do for me, give me. Instead of us coming here and saying, Lord, let me wash your feet. Lord, let me feed you. Lord, let me meet your needs. Let me amen. Oh yes, and may we be so close and in tune that when he shows up, nobody has to identify him. No, the other two angels didn't say, excuse me, Abraham, this other one right here is not an angel. This is the Lord. Nobody had to tell him that. You know why? As soon as he showed up, he knew who that was. I'm telling you, if we're right with God this morning, you don't have to pump and push and pull and, amen, try to work up something to get God's people to love on the Lord. When he shows up, I want to tell you, there should be an automatic outflow of response to him from our spirit and our heart, amen, to love on him and to meet his needs. Oh, my goodness. I'm hesitating here because I'm just really, I'm really not knowing all where God wants us to be. And that's all right. If I quit preaching right now, there's already been enough said to deal with us. Hold your spot right there and turn back chapter 15. Amen. You know why the Lord, you know why Abraham treated the Lord on this level of hospitality and generosity? I'll tell you why. Oh. His mind went back to where he used to live. As he used to be in an idolatrous location of the Ur of the Chaldees. In chapter number, let's make sure I'm getting it right here. No, we need to back on up. We need to back on up. Chapter 12. I didn't go back far enough. That's maybe what our problem is this morning. We hadn't went back far enough. We've stopped several chapters of the life story that you have a little too quick. You may need to go all the way back to where it all started. And you say, when was that? In chapter number 12, verse 1. Now the Lord, the same one that showed up in chapter 18 at his tent. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and I will, or I will is understood there, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham, it all hinged right here. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He was obedient. He did, Brother Mike, what God said for him to do. Now then, look at chapter number 15. After verse 1, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know why that, let's go back to 18. You know why that Abraham was treating the Lord in such a fashion? Because he wouldn't be in the tent where he was at. He'd still be in the old idolatrous lifestyle with no hope and no help. In darkness, amen. Oh yes, but the Lord, he now is loving on. He was delivered by. You know what it caused us to want to be interested in meeting his needs? You say, preacher, he's God. He don't have needs. Oh, he don't. I remember one occasion that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, said about the colt of an ass, said, go down there and get it. And said, when the owner asked about it, what are you doing and what, all that, he said, the Lord hath need of it. Are you meeting the Lord's needs this morning? Maybe we're so focused on him meeting our needs that we've turned him into a Santa Claus God, amen, that has no say-so in our life, only gives us what we ask for and when we ask for it. Well, amen. All right, let's read on. Chapter 18, where did we get? Verse 6. And Abraham hastened into the tent. Now get this now. Verse number 5. He's wanting to fetch a morsel of bread. He said, I'll do it. I'm not getting my servants to do it. Amen. He said, I'm not going to call on somebody else to do it. I'm not going to just be the commander here. I want to do it myself. I'm going to fetch a morsel of bread. And he said, look at verse number 6. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. Now, I don't know, it didn't take me but a second to read that, but I wonder how long it actually took to do that. I wonder how long it actually took to go through that process from start to finish. It could have, come on ladies, I don't know a thing about cooking, I just know how to eat it. I mean, how long does it take to mix all of that dough? I guess that's what that's talking about, that kneading and that dough, working that dough and the bread and getting all that put together and all that's involved in that, and make cakes upon the hearth. So that would indicate that it was a baking process. There could have been hours right here. It's not just, come on now, ladies. It's not just Abraham out there, amen, loving on the Lord and getting all the tension. Here's now Sarah involved. Sarah's involved now. Sometimes, ladies, you might get to thinking, I can't do nothing. Some men even might even think that. Some young people here, you might get to thinking, I can't do nothing. Amen. But when somebody else is loving on the Lord and you're connected to them, whether it be parents, a husband and wife, parents and children, or what, amen, and somebody else gets loving on the Lord, that's going to involve you somewhere down the way. You're going to need to be a part of that. You're not going to need to be a part of that. And so Sarah now did not sass back and say, Abraham, this is the day of the ERA. Eve ruined Adam. I guess that's how you pronounce that. Equal rights. You know, what if she had said, Abraham, make your own cakes. Abraham, I'm busy. I'm catching up on the, as the world turns. And the young and restless. Do it yourself. No. Sarah's exhibiting here, at least at this point, a level of submission and honor as well. It's almost like Sarah was saying, Abraham, I'm thankful I have a husband that honors the Lord, and I want to join in with you, and I want to be a part of helping honor the Lord. Abraham, you can't cook. I can cook, and I'll be glad to participate in this great joint effort of honoring God. Amen. Trouble comes in a home. We're hitting everything this morning. Trouble will come in a home. Trouble will come in a marriage when one wants to honor Christ and the other don't. Simply put. All right. Help us, Jesus. And Abraham hastened to the tent. Okay, verse 7. And Abraham ran unto the hurt. Can y'all see all the hurt, the haste? He's ran in verse, where was that first one we saw? Verse 2, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them. So now we find him running again. He's in a hurry. Amen. The Lord's not going, may not be here long, so I want to do all I can what time he is here. Whoop! The Lord may not show up at RBT Sunday morning, and he may just pass through on a song. He may just pass through just for a few minutes, but I want to make haste and run to meet every need so that when he leaves, he'll look back and say, they loved me. They loved on me. They took care of me. They served me. I think we believe that sometimes Jesus shows up for the whole service. I don't know that I've ever been in too many services where I thought he was there the whole time. Mercy, Lord. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good. In other words, he picked out the best. He picked out one would be the best. Y'all just had to pray for me. That's all I can tell you. This is coming and we're all getting it fresh. What has happened to that in our life where we want to pick out on purpose the best and give it to the Lord? Brother Ivan, what's happened to that in Christianity today. You know what now? Lord, I think I'm going to keep this for us and me. I think I'm gonna keep this special and this tender and good. I'm going to keep that for me. And Lord, I'm going to give you that old heifer over there. Wore out, broke down, ready for the graveyard. I think I'm gonna make a few steaks out of that, tough as shoe leather. But no, he went and said, Lord, you're the best. You deserve the best. And here is my best. And he went to the herd. He ran with haste. He was excited about it. Hey, he was excited about picking the best out for the Lord and giving it to him. Oh, goodness. I don't believe I'm the only one in here getting help this morning. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. Can you get a picture of that now? It's about lunchtime, so I'd say you probably are getting a picture of it. And he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Oh, yes. You see that, Brother Mike? Abraham's not even eating. Abraham's standing under the shade tree, watching his Lord. Can I put a correction there? Watching our Lord feed and be blessed. Abraham might, I don't know if he's leaned up against the tree, or Abraham might have looked down there, Miss Candy, and watched the Lord as he'd just, you know, make them facial expressions that piece of lamb or that piece of calf, it tender and good and was dressed and butter and all that stuff on it. And may have shook his head like that. And he might even did like this. He might have just said something, looked, did something that just indicated, I've never had any better. Wonder what went through the heart of Abraham. It pays to serve the Lord. I'd rather have his nod. I'd rather have him to pat me on the back and say, Abraham, that was as good as I've ever had. I'd rather have the Lord's commendation than the world's recommendation. Hallelujah. Oh, can I say something right here? If you'll serve him and honor him and submit to him as did Abraham, I want to tell you, it'll not go without record. It'll not go without reward. I promise you, God will honor that. You honor him, he'll honor you. Amen. And you don't do it for that purpose. You do it because he's worthy. Well, amen. Preacher, we ain't gaining much ground. I think we've gained a whole lot of ground. Unexpectedly. Amen. Where'd we get? Verse 9. We're just now starting to get into the territory of where I really wanted to preach. And don't gasp. Don't pass out. Don't ask your wife for a nitroglycerin tablet unless you need it. So we'll just have to somehow or another work what I'd planned to preach this morning in with what I plan to preach tonight. So we'll just see how all that works. And now we come and look at this. And so now they eat. They're sitting under the shade tree and they eat. Verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? Now, I think that's interesting to ask that question after Abraham had already went in the tent and got Sarah to fix the bread. I don't think that was all done in secrecy. And that was the angel of the Lord, so he knew where Abraham was at. But here the question is asked, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. She's at the house. She's at home. Boy, some preaching could be preached right there, couldn't it? She's in the tent. Look at verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? And here's where I really wanted to get this morning, but I have not got there. I'm there now, but we're done. Verse 14. Here's a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old husband just got through receiving the word again that they were going to have a seed, they were going to have a son, that started actually back in chapter 13. God was telling Abraham that this is going to be with your seed, and he didn't even have a seed. Amen. Your seed's going to be blessed. Well, I don't even have a seed. God said, I'm going to give you a son. She's going to bear you a son. That starts back there in chapter 13. It talks about verse 15 and 16, thy seed. You come into chapter number 15. You have his seed. He's a man of no seed, verse 3 of chapter 15. Verse 5 he's referring to. Verse 13 again. Verse 18 again. He's talking about his seed, and he don't have a seed. He doesn't have a son. He doesn't have children. Come into chapter 16, verse number 10, he's talking about the seed. Come into chapter 17, you look at verse number 8, verse number 10, verse number 12. You know, you see this term about the seed. He don't even have a seed. Come into chapter 17, and verse number 17, and Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And God said in verse 19, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and so on and so forth. But when Sarah, 90, and Abraham, 100, heard the news that they were going to have a son, and they're past childbearing, they're past any possibility of natural intervention, natural happenstance, something natural taking place. So Sarah hears that, and she laughs in her heart with unbelief, because she started thinking, now that can't be. Now wait a minute. The Lord said it, but here she's laughing as if to say, no, that ain't happening. Come on. Are we not a lot like that? The Lord says it. The Lord says it. And how many times in our heart we give a little snigger and a little chuckle of unbelief? Yeah, right. That ain't happening. That can't happen. That's not going to happen. Or could we add this one? If that was going to happen, it would have happened a long time ago. But God on purpose did not let that happen at 60. And that was possible back in those days. Or 65. Now God waited till it was absolutely biologically impossible And God says, now that possibility has ended and impossibility has took over, now it's time for me to shine. God looked, look. Y'all looking? Verse 14 is, she's laughing in verse 13, and she's putting in question form instead of a statement. Okay, the Lord said it. I don't see how it's possible, but it's going to happen because the Lord said it. Praise God. I'm going to have a son, and his name's going to be called Isaac. But no, look what she's questioning it. Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And watch this. Son, if this ain't a woman, I don't know what is. I'm just kidding, ladies. Sarah denied. I'm talking about the Lord's talking. The Lord is talking. The Lord said Sarah laughed in the tent within herself. Here Sarah brazen said. She denied, I laughed not. Can you get somebody arguing with Jesus? You did it. No, I didn't do it. Y'all don't see no problem there, do you? Pride or anything? Huh? Hey, she didn't laugh out loud to where everybody heard it, because everybody would have stopped and said, what is Sarah laughing about? She laughed within herself. That little snigger inside of, yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know what's up with this, but the Lord evidently has forgot about. Have you ever thought about the Lord's forgot about things in your life? He's surely forgot about that 90-year-old women don't have children. And 100-year-old husbands and fathers don't father children. He must have had a mistake there. He must have. Come on now, we ain't all that sanctified. We think sometimes, Lord, you surely forgot. Lord, surely you didn't consider this part of my circumstance. You didn't look at that. You didn't get my birth certificate out and check out everything. Son, I'm going to tell you, we're so controlled by the natural. That's what the whole thing she was doing. She was controlled by the natural, amen, that says, nope, this is not natural, so it's not possible, and I'm not believing. You know what our problem is? And I'm about done. We have completely wrapped our sovereign supernatural Lord around with all of our natural way of thinking and natural way of doing things. And if God don't operate inside that little boundary, then it ain't going to happen. It can't happen. And so she laughed. And then she denied it. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. For she was afraid. She thought, hey, come on, parents. Have you ever seen your children do that? When they knew they'd been caught? Whoop! Son, that brings back flashbacks of my life. When you know you got caught and you thought you didn't get caught, I didn't do it. I tried that one time. Well, tried it several times. But when mama says, I saw you, your case is lost. No need to open your mouth and say, oh, you didn't see me. You saw the neighbor. No. When mama says, I see you, mama sees you. Say amen right there. And kids, I'm going to tell you, mama can see through walls. It can't get too dark for mama to not see. Amen. Well, look at it. I've got to finish right here. It's hard to finish when this was where you're supposed to be starting. But she said, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, thou didst laugh. And the men arose from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And of course, now the story goes on into Lot and them going to Sodom and for the purpose of delivering Lot and his family out before judgment fell. I wonder if they'd have hung around. Wonder if the Lord would have hung around another day or another few hours if Sarah had just been honest and said, "You know, Lord, I did laugh. I'm controlled by my natural thinking, and you know." But when she denied that she laughed, the last thing said to her was, "You did laugh." And then the next thing you know, the Lord's leaving. God help us. But I wanted to start, and Lord willing, Lord don't change my mind, I'm going to pick up here where I thought we would be ending this morning. I'm going to pick up tonight, and I'm going to take two words, and I'm going to try to preach on them the first part of the message tonight. And if I don't get it done, I'll just come back and finish it later. But I want to preach on these two words that has gotten majorly big in me. Too hard. That's what I want to preach on. That's what God wants preached on. That this church, too hard. Does that describe any circumstance in your life? Too hard. Does that describe a situation? Describe a problem? Too hard. And I want to deal with that tonight, Lord willing. And what I thought I was going to deal with this morning. But anyway, and if the Lord don't change my mind, and I don't see how hardly I can deal with the too hard part in just a little section and then go to the other. But what I originally planned to preach tonight is in 2 Timothy 2:3, enduring hardness. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? But then come right in on the back end of that and deal with enduring hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Hard days are coming. Hard times are coming. You can't stop it. There's going to be things in your life that's going to happen that you're going to raise your hands and say, "It's too hard. It's too hard. I can't deal with that. It's too hard." Or hardness requires endurance. I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. And people are quitting. And when I say people, I'm talking about every preacher I talk to, their churches, they've got people that's collapsing, caving in, quitting, throwing in the towel. You don't quit because it's too easy. A person quits because they have got it in their mind, they're convinced, this is too hard. This is too difficult. And I'm not willing to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. I want to thank you, Lord, for helping me, Lord, to preach this morning. Lord, unexpected, Lord, but certainly welcomed. I thank you for God feeding us through just even the reading of Scripture. Lord, in Genesis 18. And Lord, I know without any shadow of a doubt that you ordered that. You sent that, Lord, as we was reading the Scripture. And I believe, Lord, that it went clearly along with some of the things that we had already said. And Lord, I appreciate how you've put this together and we receive it. Lord, may we be interested in meeting your needs. When it come down to that too hard subject, it was all about God meeting her impossible needs. About God doing the impossible, the unnatural in her life, in their life. When all hope was gone, you, God, was just getting ready to work. And Lord, there's a lot of people that have fallen out through those things, those times. But Lord, may we not be so consumed this morning with you meeting our needs, but that we would meet your needs, that we would do it without asking. We know it's your will that we worship you no matter where we are, at home, driving, at church. It's your will that we worship you, Lord. It's your will, Lord, that we use every breath to praise you. But Lord, I don't think that you have to ask for it. I don't believe that you have to just come on us every Sunday morning and say, worship me. Worship me, Lord. I believe we should be voluntarily moving in that direction of worship. But Lord, if we don't do that privately, if we don't do that as Abraham did at his tent where he lived, if we can't do that, Lord, then we surely are going to miss the boat on worship when it is a public setting, when there's a congregation involved. Lord, could we get that in our heart this morning? That if we want to love on you, you'll let us. If we want to take the time to feed you and meet your needs and wash your feet and serve you and give you our best and prepare for that, Lord, that you will let us. Lord, I cannot even grasp you telling Abraham when he's showing such an attitude of gratitude, of telling Abraham, I'm busy. I can't wait. I got places to go. I got things to do. I'm busy. But Lord, I'm glad that you will always pause and stop and stay where you're praised and honored and worshiped. Lord, I know that in the message this morning that you gave us, you hit several things, several things. And I hope that God, those things stuck in our hearts this morning. May we worship you when nobody's around. God, may we believe you when you say and speak from your word and your spirit to us. Maybe even things that are sounds ridiculous. Sounds absurd. Sounds like an absolute impossibility. May we realize who it is that's saying those things. That you're not bound by the natural and you're not controlled by normal. You operate in a realm that man does not. And I pray you'll help us to get some help from that as you will lead our heart to deal with it. Feed us, Lord. We need it in this hour, Lord. We need it, Lord. We need help. We're headed into some hard times. It's already that way. Hard times, hard days. Scripturally shows us that it's going to be perilous days, perilous times, great falling away. Men shall be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Lord, we are headed into some difficult, some hard days. And you may ask us to do things that are hard. Maybe even in our own idea of it, too hard. But help us, Lord, to have that faith that responds, Lord, it is too hard for me, but it is not too hard for you.